Hello, friends. Let me welcome you to HAL Radio.
Today, we're going to talk with Kelsey Colley. Everybody knows Kelsey Colley. He has worked with me, and I'm HAL's daughter, as you know, Jane, for many years working with children and adults to help them, oh God, I don't know, just reach their dreams, which is in many cases becoming stars. Kelsey is going to tell us everything about himself and about the things that he's doing and plans on doing. And he'll have his own show and been interviewing people. Hi, Kelsey. Talk to me.
Hi, Jane. The show that I'm going to be doing is a talk show called The Real Deal. And it's a talk show that will deal with the impact of the arts on African-American community. And we'll talk to educators, actors, dancers, artists, visual artists, graphic artists, photographers, well, vocalists, just about everybody in the arts. And we want to learn the truth about what it is, what it takes to be in the arts, and what the entertainment industry is all about. We want to get the real deal on that. And we'll talk to people in academia about training, and we'll get their views on the impact of what the arts world is doing to and for them. And that's basically what we'll be doing. It's going to be a very exciting show. We'll call on people from across the country, and actors, singers, dancers, you name it, educators, everybody that we can get. Come and talk to us about what's happening and to help people, young people especially, realize their dreams. Now, why all of this? Well, I started out, believe it or not, getting my arts education by way of radio. That's a very important thing, and that's one of the things that Hal Jackson did when he was first of many, many things on the radio. So what I did was I listened to the radio to learn elocution. I listened for dramatic art. I learned to write scripts. I learned just about everything I knew because when I grew up, there was no theater for me to go to except for the movies, and there was no television. And so the only thing I saw were church and school plays and the movies. And I learned a lot from radio, Lux Radio Theater, Stars Over Hollywood, all those old shows. At nine, I wrote my first play, and I called it Heaven Sent. I took the title from a bottle of cologne that was on my mother's dressing table. At 16, I wrote a play called The Three Little Women, about three little girls who were growing up and how they tried to pretend to be little ladies. It was a la Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney kind of, here's an old trunk we found in the barn, let's do a show. Well, I did that, and I wanted very much to be involved in the arts. I wanted to be in theater. I thought I was going to be a great actor. Well, my father said, that's no place for a black man. You've got to have a steady job, one where you're teaching or preaching or being a doctor or lawyer, one of those professions. And I said, all right, I'll go along. I'll be an elementary education teacher. But in the meantime, there came an opportunity for me to audition for a play that was in New York. And my father said, oh, no, you are not going to that Sin City. You're not going to New York to do anything. You're going to become a teacher. Well, I didn't go to New York. I didn't get the part. And I did go on, however, to Hampton Institute, now university, where I was majored in elementary education the first semester. First semester, huh? I hated it. I didn't want that. I wanted to be in theater. And my speech teacher said, you really ought to be in speech and drama. And so without my parents' consent and their knowledge, I changed my major to speech and drama. when I got my first grade, I called home and I said, look, I know you've got the grades because at that time grades went home to parents. And they said, yes. And I said, I hope you don't mind, but I changed my major because this is what I really want. And I was waiting for my father to bring the apps down. And he said, all right, if this is what you want, then go for it and you make something of it. And I did. I graduated, and for a long time I thought, well, nothing's going to happen. But I went on and worked at various things. I was in the Army for a while. I worked at the Library of Congress for about 8 years. And finally, a friend of mine said, you know, they're looking for teachers at Howard in the English department. You really ought to go there. I said, I don't want to teach English. I want to teach theater. She said, but you can get your foot in the door. And I said, oh, okay. So in 1970, I got a job as an English teacher. And for 3 years, I taught English at Howard. And then I had some students who were in drama at Howard, and they in my English class, and they said, well, look, you really ought to be in drama. We would love to have you in our theater classes because you are a great teacher, and, you know, we had such fun in your English class. So I took my little resume in hand, and I went running over and saying, well, do you have any openings? And the chairman said, nope. We don't have any openings, but you can leave your resume, but if we have something later, you know, we'll call you. The very next day, he called me, and he said, I was looking at your resume, and by the time I had gotten a master's in children's theater from George Washington University, and he says, okay, I see you have a master's in theater and children's theater. Would you direct a show for us this summer? My wife has written a play called Kojo and the Leopard about a young African boy becoming a man. It's a rite of passage play. And I said, sure, right away. He said, well, there's no pay, there's nothing to it, but we're looking for somebody to do this. And I said, of course I'll do it. And of course I did. And during that time of my directing the play, he said, you know, we could use you in our department. We need to start a children's theater, and, you know, we need to teach some courses. So would you be willing to construct some classes and do that? I said, of course. So I made up a couple of classes, and I presented them to him. He accepted them, put in my application for a teaching position, and that's the beginning of my teaching in the theater department. It was wonderful because I was able to, in that first year, to develop a children's theater. Not only the classes that the undergraduates took, but I also started classes for young children from age 5 up to about 18. And we did this in the summer. We started in the summer, the first summer. Well, I want you to know that in that first year in that we developed those courses in that summer children's theater, that after that I applied with the Children's Theater Association of America. I let them know that we had done all this work, and they gave us an award as the most outstanding new children's theater in the country. It was the first for me and first for the university, and it was a great thing. And we continued to develop the children's program, having we had programs doing on Saturdays, and we did it all summer, and we even instituted a program for the more serious students called the Playmakers Repertory Company, and those are children who auditioned for the program and were heads and above some of the other students that we were working with. And we had a group of maybe 20 or 30 of them at any one time. And that group would travel all over. We went from Howard to New York. We found a friend from Westchester College who just loved our children and loved what we were doing. And everything that we did, every time we performed, he would say, "You've got to go see Kelsey Colley's children." And he made everybody contact us and book us. So we were running up and down the East Coast doing shows from Washington to Connecticut. We had our first international experience when we took a troop in 1978 to Ireland. We entered in the Dundalk International Maytime Festival. I always get that confused. And it's a great festival in Dundalk, Ireland, 50 miles west of Dublin and 50 miles south of Northern Ireland. And we took a group there and we did a play called Black Images, Black Reflections. Now, this play I wrote myself in 1974 was the year of the bicentennial. And I wrote the play because I figured that nobody would be saying anything about the black presence in terms of the bicentennial, and I wanted people to know that black people had a great hand in developing this country, the United States. And the play was reviewed by the New York Times, and one of the greatest reviews I have ever gotten. And the reviewer said, "You have got to see this play. This is so important." And I was astonished because I said, "The New York Times, yet we didn't get that kind of review from the Washington Post." But at any rate, we performed that play and in Ireland, and we received the President's Award for that. And then we took another group to the Bahamas. We took a group of children to the Carabana Festival in Toronto. We also went back to Ireland several times, and each time we won. We won the premier award for another play that I wrote called Brother, Brother, Brother Mine, based on Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors. And that play was really, really a wonderful musical. The music was written by a former colleague of mine, Henry Edmonds, who's now deceased. And it was a wonderful, wonderful show, set in New Orleans at the turn of the century. And it was about a seaboat captain and a nun, a woman who became a nun. She got married, but they got separated in a hurricane. They had twin sons, and the sons were separated. And so that they all met together in New Orleans. And it was a happy family reunion. It was one of those really fantastic events. We had a great time. We loved every moment of that. And then we went on to tour across the United States. We took the play to Topeka, Kansas. We took it to Denver, Colorado. We went to St. Louis. Just about every place, everywhere. It is a great, great, great experience teaching young people about touring and about how to live out of a bus and do shows, back to back almost. Sometimes one at 10 o'clock in the morning and another at 1 o'clock in the afternoon or something of that sort, but with lunch in between. And as a matter of fact, when we first started locally in Washington, when we started touring, we bartered the old theater way. We went out and we told the schools, "If you provide transportation and lunch, we will come and do a show for you free of charge." And they did. And so that's how we got known. And we were booked every every Friday we were booked Penman. After a while, we started asking for pay, and we got the pay from all of the schools. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience. Sometimes we perform for various organizations, and we did a television show up in Hagerstown, a performance of one of our shows, and that for that we were paid. The students just loved it, so it became a kind of a work for them. The other kind of work experience for them also was that in our children's theater, we hired the students from Howard, the theater students, to work with the younger students. And they said, what are we going to teach them? And I said, teach them what you have learned. And so the young people were getting a college education, those young people who were in the children's theater. It was really, really, really very exciting. And it helped the students to also to learn about teaching. It helped them to earn some money. And it helped them to find out something about young people growing up and help them to find just where they should be going with their own lives and careers. In the whole process, we found that we were doing business with some very talented young people. And I mean the young people who were in the children's theater, the 5 to 18-year-olds. The college students, we knew that because that's why they were at Howard. So we were already working with them, and I'll get back to them in a moment. But with the young people, we decided that there's no sense in simply saying, okay, you're ready to be a playmaker, and that's the end of it. So that we started having what we call an agency to develop young talent. And we booked the talent on various shows, such as A Man Called Hawk. We booked just about every week we had somebody on that show when it played. And we did America's Most Wanted. We had an 18-month-old, I can't remember. As a matter of fact, it was one of my grandchildren who, I don't know how she did it, but cried on cue. It was the most wonderful thing I've ever seen. We also had some who were doing modeling, and they did both print and runway modeling. But the students who work with the young people really, really got a great, great experience in working with them and helped us to develop those young people into great performing artists, some of whom went on to make a name for themselves in the television business. One, for example, Kelly S. Williams, who was in Family Matters. And I still remember Kelly came to us when she was 6 years old, and her parents brought her, and she said, I just want to dance. And she was always dancing. We said, Kelly, you've got to learn to act, to sing, and to dance. You've got to be triple threat. And she said, but I just want to dance. Well, she danced all right, but she did much more acting than she did dancing. And what happened? She wound up on the show Family Matters. We trained Chris Thomas, the comedian, who became a very famous little comedian. Chris was one of those wonderful, wonderful talents who was already there. He just needed some honing, and we helped him to hone those skills, his comedic skills. And the audiences loved him. And I can remember he did a lot of very funny things about the President Carter and his family. That kind of thing. He did a Muhammad Ali that was out of this world. And several of us, it was just very, very funny and very exciting to see the growth of these young people. There were several others who went on. names I don't even remember anymore. Eddie Robinson, who did a couple of the Cosby shows and was on Swan's Crossing, the teenage soap opera. And I remember that we went to one of the schools here in Maryland, and we were looking for a young boy to play the part of Travis in the European premiere of Raisin. And we were doing a dance show at the time. And so at the end of our performance, we asked all the kids in the audience to get up and move and dance around as the closeout for this performance. And I spotted one little boy, and I said, that's the boy I want. And before I knew it, everybody was out of the auditorium. And I rushed to the principal's office, and I said, there's a boy I want. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to his parents. I need him. I think we can send him to Europe to be in the European premiere of Raisin. And she said, I think I know exactly who you're talking about. And so I said, yes. She said, Tony Powell. And I said, okay. So she called him in, and I said, that's the boy, that's the boy. Well, I made arrangements to talk to his parents, and they agreed to send him to us. He had had no previous training in theater, but he just stood out in the crowd. And we prepared him for his European premiere as Travis in the musical version of Raisin. And he was there for, I guess, about 6 months that he was in Europe, in Germany and Switzerland, playing that part. It was a great experience for him, and I call him my Renaissance man now, because he went on to Juilliard and to study dance. And he came back, and he was into some everything, and photography, and writing, and dancing, and he had his own ballet company, and all kinds of things. And so that I just thought he was just wonderful. And so that was my greatest discovery, I do believe. But getting back to my college students, there have been so many of them that have done such wonderful things. And then there are the unsung heroes and heroines, those whose names don't get on the billboards, those whose names don't get up in the lights, but they are just wonderful. For instance, I just this past weekend, a young man who lived with me for 4 years during his college tenure came back to visit. He was in town doing a piece for a law firm. It was about a law firm. It was an acting job, and they called him in to do this piece, and it was a mock trial, piece for filming to show the law students. And but at any rate, it was wonderful. The interesting thing about that is that he came down with his aunt to register in the theater department at Howard, and he did not have a room. All the rooms were gone, and they said, well, you'd have to wait and put your name there on a list and look for a place to live and so forth. And his aunt said, well, I'm not leaving town with him, not knowing, where he's going to live. And I said, look, if he needs a place, let him come and live with me. I've got a house. I'll take him. And wonderful young man. He turned out to be a great, great, great person. And I took him in, and he lived with me for 4 years. He worked in the children's theater. He also worked in a theater program with Kaiser Permanente. But the other part of all of that is that he became family. And this is one of the things that happens in theater, people who work so closely together and live so closely together, and you know, it becomes a real family, a network of people just everywhere, doing things for each other, helping them each other to get ahead, and that's a wonderful thing, and I really enjoy that. But getting back to my other students, now there have been so many wonderful students who have gone on to bigger and better things. The more recent ones that some of you will probably remember would be Chad Bozeman, who played Jackie Robinson and James Brown in the films recently. And Chad was at Howard during my second tenure there, because I retired in 95, went back in 97 to 2000, and Chad graduated in 2000. There was also Taraji P. Henson, who everybody now knows as Cookie, and one of the great actresses, and everybody talks about her, and we're just so very, very pleased to have her as one of our own, as an alumna from Howard, and she's very proud of her training there too. A couple of years ago, year before last, as it were, I was out of the NAACP Image Award, and there on the red carpet, who should be there? Not who should be there, because he was the host, was Anthony Anderson, who looked up and saw me, and he says, there's my professor from Howard, and he hugged me, and we talked, and we took pictures, and with the family, he introduced me to his family. It was a wonderful experience to know that those young people that you worked with as a professor and a student still remember and still cared and really appreciated whatever you did for them. And I always tried to do something good for everybody who came to my class, because I'm a people person and I love people. And when you've got talent, that's double. So it was not difficult for me to really, really become enamored with him and with all of my students. On Broadway today, there is a young lady whom I just adore very much. Her name is Harriet Foy, and she is playing in Amazing Grace. And it's interesting that a couple of years ago, when she did the play about hats, I think it played at Arena Stage, that one of the New York critics wrote, "Somebody ought to write a play for Harriet Foy." Well, it appears that this is as close as it's come to somebody writing a play for her, because she has a very important featured role in this play, which I have not seen, but I'm going to see hopefully very soon. And I understand that she is getting rave reviews, and so that I'm looking forward to that. It does my heart good to know that our students are doing well and that they are appearing on Broadway or elsewhere, just everywhere. It is amazing. I also, when I was out at the Image Award, the 25 of the former students of mine gave me a birthday party. And I looked around, and there were screenwriters and lighting technicians and actors and the whole gamut of theater people, makeup artists, all kinds of people, and they were just having a ball and enjoying it. And you know, while their names are not the great big names that you see on the screen or that you know come to mind immediately, but they were working artists, and that is important, because the business is so humongous, and so it's very important that they get to work. And so I was just very happy about that. I was very, very happy to see that. And I took a young man out there with me. And that young man has now appeared in a couple of independent films, and he's looking forward to getting his feet wet in the big times. And the one thing that I do like very much is that at least with the Howard crew, and it's probably true across the board, but the one thing that I do like is that they look out for each other and they help. And that's so very important in our community, and I mean the Black community, because we have to look out for each other because nobody else is going to do it for us. And so that it helps. And so that I keep telling them that you've got to let the younger ones know the ropes so that they will be able to follow in your path and make better choices, and then they can tell others about it and keep things going that way. And that's very important, you see. It's been a tremendous, tremendous ride for me. I think that I'm so happy to have been involved in the lives of so many people, and in helping them to determine who they are and where they need to go and how they go about doing that, because it's important. It's very important. And I'm very happy to know that some of my advice was taken and was good, because not all of us can give good advice. But then that's because I have a penchant for loving people, of helping people, of wanting to serve, and I find that is the greatest joy in my life. I was asked once when I was assistant dean of fine arts at Howard, a student came to me and he said, how much money do you think you would need? I said, and at that time, if this was in the early 70s, I said, oh, I don't know, $50,000, $60,000. I don't know, $50,000, $60,000 a year. He said, is that all? And I said, yeah. What do I need money for except, keeping a roof over my head and buying some clothes every now and then, a little food? But money isn't everything. The thing that makes me happy is making other people happy. And he just looked at me like, are you a fool or what? But I guess some people don't understand that you don't have to make money in order to be happy, that making other people happy is the equivalent of making a lot of money. And I enjoy that. I enjoy working with children. And a young man called me early this summer, and he said, I just met Kelly Williams, and I told her how much I enjoyed her and doing Family Matters, and I asked her about training, and she said, well, you should go to Kelsey College, so I'm coming to you. And I said, okay. Well, if for some reason or other, we kept missing each other, or we couldn't get the dates together to get together to meet. But we finally met. Here it is in November. And so we finally met, 11 years old, and this young man has such passion for acting. And he said to me, nobody else in my family likes to act. Nobody wants to do this. Why me? And I said, because it's in your blood somehow. And it does get into your blood. I don't know why. But it's there. And you know, the love of the theater is a great thing. There's nothing wrong with that. So that's the kind of thing that helps us to want to be in this business, because it's not easy. It's not easy. It's hard work. It looks like it's easy, and it looks like it's always so much fun, and it is. But you work at it. It's just like anything else, whether you're playing football or basketball, or whether you are a soccer player, whether you're a concert pianist, or it's hard work. You have to keep working at it, because if you don't, you will never, never, never acquire the goal that you want to reach. And I keep advising young people that unless you have the heart for the ups and downs of the art, then don't bother to get into it. Don't bother to get involved, because it'll break your heart, it could break your spirit, it could break you. But you've got to love it, you've got to want it, you've got to really have a passion for it. And I've met some other young people who have a passion for it. I'm working with a young man now, 14 years old, that I think really has it. I've given him some work to do. And every time I give him an improv, it's as if he instinctively knows what to do. He doesn't take 10, 15 minutes to get prepared. He walks out of the room and walks back in 2 seconds, and he's that another character. And I'm saying, where does he get this? He's only 14. He hasn't lived. He doesn't know the world. He hasn't. But it's there. And there are those people who have that. That's kind of a genius, I suppose. That's the love that you have to have. That's the ability that you have to have. And that's the desire, you know. And it's this burning in the belly that you've got to have. You want to keep that going. You've got to keep that going. Or else it dries up and nothing happens. That's what it's all about. The impact of the arts can mean so much. It can teach us so much about life. It can teach us so much about living. It can teach us so much about people. It can teach us a lot of things about the sciences, the math, you know, English, whatever. All of that. But we have to really understand what it is. We've got to analyze it. We've got to interpret it. We've got to see it. And then take it for whatever it's worth. But by all means, you've got to love it. And that's why I'm in it. That's what keeps me going. That's what makes me want to jump up and shout about it. And when people see me and I'm explaining to them, and they look at me and they say, you just look like you're so much into it. And of course I am. Of course I am. Because that's what I love. That's what I want. That's what I do. That's me.
Thank you so much. I'm sure we all have learned a lot, and we'll be looking forward to you starting your show. Thank you, Kelsey.
Thank you, Jane.
Wow, time does fly. Here we are at the end of another week of programming. Can you believe that's the end of our show today? We hope HAL Radio has once again brought a ray of sunshine into your day, as well as uplifted your spirits. Be sure to join us again next Saturday, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember to make us your favorite station. Subscribe to us here. And also remember to visit us on the website. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/HAL Radio for even more upliftingly affirmative jewels. And remember to tell a friend or two that HAL Radio is the place for all things uplifting and positive.